expensive now, when you're 19 years old.
Well, that is very expensive.
Right. Yeah.
It's actually a good
Well,
point.
Natty lights aren't that expensive.
No, they
but,
are. When you're 19, what do you do?
Oh,
how
yeah,
do you have
when
money
you're 19.
When you're 19? So is that something, and we appreciate the first-time caller.
Thank you.
But my question would be, does it matter to you as a fan of a team if a random guy that played a few games right. gets a ring or not?
Not even a
not
little.
Not even remotely.
It doesn't even like cross my
no.
mind. Like I don't
now,
really
if you
care.
Said to me, does he get a World Series share, I might get a little more upset about that, and he doesn't. You have
no.
to play in the World Series.
Right. But like, it doesn't bother me. And I also don't think, like I was trying to explain to Mike, I don't think Hanley Ramirez, even if he got one, he'd be like, oh, thank you, I appreciate it. But I don't think he would... like wear it because then people are like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, were you on the World Series team? He's like, well, I was for the first few months, yep. and then they got rid of me.
Yeah,
like,
you put that in a drawer. And
yeah,
you
like it's
about
a cool,
it.
It's a cool little keepsake, yeah. but it's not. You're not going to be showing it off.
You take it and donate it to a charity and let some charity make some money off.
Right,
it
and you're not going to like he's not going to be billed as a like, World
so
Series.
So you can pass it down to your kids. Yeah.
Or you put it on eBay.
Yeah, but even so, what do you say? This is my dad's phony World Series.
Right?
Yeah,
then nobody will remember.
Yeah, he was on the team for 2 weeks. Like I'm looking at Baseball Reference. I don't see him out here anywhere. Like, guys, don't worry about it.
Jeff's in New Hampshire. Hey, Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys.
Hi. How you doing?
Dale, Rich, great show, and I love when Steve's on the show.
Thank you.
What's up? Is that it? I mean, that's a perfect call,
no,
I guess.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, it looks like Gronk's pretty banged up. So what are you hearing from about Jacob Hollister? I mean, he had a pretty good preseason. Thought it was going to be a breakout year for him, and then he's been on the DL, and you don't even know if he's ever going to play this year.
He seems to be more banged up than Gronk.
And secondly, Dale, if you can comment on Cam Neely's comments on the secondary scoring units of the Bruins. It almost sounds like he... firing a shot over the bow of these players and possibly making some changes.
I think he is, and thank you. Yeah, I think he is firing a shot over the bow of the players, and Cam Neely is not afraid to do that.
No.
He does need somebody other than Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak to score, and Krejci is doing that, by
the way.
Turns
out it's not going to be Ryan Donato.
No. You know what? It's the right move.
Yeah.
He's got 1 point in 11 games. Send him down to Providence. He's going to play 20 minutes a night, get his game back together, and then you bring him back up here.
No, nobody's writing him off.
He's playing fourth line minutes here. How do you get out of it?
You're not getting better doing that.
No.
I was frustrated. I thought he was going to be, you know, a 20-goal scorer this season.
He might. Well, maybe not this season, but I don't think he's going to be in Providence some extended period of time.
Yeah, I hope not.
Assuming... And I know his dad really well.
Yeah.
Assuming he does what I'm sure his father's going to tell him, which is you go down there and you bust your ass and you do your job and you'll get back here. Which, by the way, is probably what Cam Neely and Don Sweeney told him.
No, I hope so. As for Jacob Hollister, I think he's only been active for 3 games. Yeah. He's been hurt. He had a good preseason. He looked like another option. I was excited about what he could do this season. But he's been hurt. He's got a hamstring injury. He did not practice Wednesday. He was limited yesterday. It just, unfortunately, it feels like a lost season for him because there is some opportunity with Gronk being banged up, missing a game, and yet they never throw to Dwayne Allen. So you're saying Hollister could have a role, but he just hasn't been healthy enough.
God bless.
Oh, thank you. And you're right, but you're in the long shadow of Gronk too. Whatever you do at tight end is going to be automatically compared and. Fair or otherwise, that doesn't matter. But
if Gronk can't play Sunday night, you know you're like back to Dwayne Allen
there,
being
right?
your only option.
Right? Yeah, you'd like him out there.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. Because Allen's absolutely not a receiving threat.
I mean, Josh Gordon looks like a tight end, but he's.
I know.
Yeah.
And to a couple of the texters who completely don't understand what happens at the end of a baseball season, texter says, "You guys are wrong. Anybody who plays during the year gets to share whether it's full, half, quarter." We're talking about money.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
They vote on...
What does it matter?
They vote on money. Owners decide on rings.
Yeah.
The owners say, he played a game here, give him a ring.
And everybody's in a good mood at that point.
Oh, God, they're giving you
a ring. Take a ring. Who cares?
Now, the shares are voted on by the players. And they can, you hope, would be generous. You know, that they would... They almost always include... You know, the traveling secretary and the training staff.
Yes. And there's been weird instances in the past where a guy gets traded from one World Series team to another.
And gets,
before the season, you're like, win or lose, he's getting something here because he's going to technically be on one of those rosters.
And you know, to your point about everybody's in a good mood, when they get around to voting World Series shares, and they may have already done it before they blew out of town here, they're going to be generous.
I mean, unless the guy was a real... loser or something, right? I mean, why not?
Carson Smith?
Yeah, he just won the World
Series. Who they've already decided is not coming back next year.
He was their best Fortnite player, though. That's what they said at the time.
So David Price is upset.
Yeah, all those guys, they got to crown a new champion.
But the actually guys should take a couple of weeks to decide who gets what and whatnot, because you're right, in the blush of
everything's
winning
great.
A championship, yeah, like, right. Yeah, you know, it'd be like Oprah handing out cars. Yeah, mm-hmm. You get what. But most of the times when you see it worked out, most of the time it comes down as pretty fair. Guys don't try not to hold grudges, or guys try to understand what everybody's input to the championship was, and for the most part, when you talk about, you know, 25 or 27 guys making the decisions, they usually come down pretty well with them.
I think we've actually got dead solid proof of how generous this Red Sox team is. We'll tell you about that when we come back in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Steve DeAussi's in the house. We'll talk to Michael Irvin just after 1 o'clock. Dale and Keefe, sports. Oh, and Red Sox, Bruins tickets to give
Woo!
Away. Not Red Sox tickets. That'd
Woo!
Be hard.
No.
Bruins tickets to give away at the bottom of the hour. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Boston's new choice for the drive home. Ord Waymer, Loney and Forney.
I made the decision on leaving Eduardo for Puig, and that home run kind of like, everybody kind of like got deflated, honestly, starting with the manager. I was like, holy shit, I gotta answer all these questions after this. Then Mitch put that homer, and that was it. When Mitch hit that ball, it was over. It was over, honestly, because no way they were going to stop us.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier, 2-6 weekdays on Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI and WEEI.com, Boston.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Steve DeAussi's in the house with us. Michael Irvin will join us just after 1 o'clock. You know, we began the program by suggesting that patience is not one of your virtues.
And you may be right, Dale.
I now know you're one of the worst people on the planet.
How is terrible? Well, one, that seems... One first of all, terrible. Let me stop
one
you right
the
there. There are billions of people
well,
on the planet
at
that
least
we
in this
know
room,
of.
Then. All right. At least
one
in
of the
room.
Worst people
one of
on the planet.
One of the worst people on the planet?
So we're in here. We're discussing the ghastly broken arm from last night.
It was a gross broken
it was
arm.
Terrible.
Rossi can't
it was
handle
awful.
It. Rossi gets physically sick with
I
these
know.
Injuries.
So
he's leaving. He just
so
left.
So during the break, Keith goes in the other room and says to Lucy, oh, you ought to look up the Sid Vicious thing. Oh, that's a nice thing
she
to show
her.
She
wanted to see it.
No, she did.
Yes,
she wouldn't
she's
know.
Sick.
I was curious.
Curious.
Yes.
She's sick. She has a sickness.
Well,
she wanted
she
to
curious?
See it.
Was
so I said, look it up.
After you brought it up?
No, we were talking about the poor guy on the Niners.
Right.
And Lucy says, I love seeing these videos.
She did not say
she
that.
Said, I'm obsessed with these videos. And I said, well, you got to see the psycho Sid off the top rope. And she did.
And I've been watching it since.
Over and over and over.
You know what video I'd like to see is them getting that boot off. Because I don't know how that would
have
worked.
Well, I assume they would have cut it into
yeah, but then
a billion
gonna, you're,
pieces.
You're going to hit the bone.
Jason is about to be ill.
Yeah,
day.
Jason really gets physically sick.
This is too.
Tell your Gordon Hayward story. Tell your Gordon Hayward story from when you saw that last year.
So this is really, I'm like uneasy. I'm
no,
like
tell
sweating.
The story.
All right. So when Gordon Hayward
yes.
broke his leg, if you guys didn't already hear,
yes.
I was making turkey burgers at home.
Love turkey burgers.
And I have like a kind of an open concept apartment. So I had like my TV on a swivel. So I'm cooking in my
yeah.
kitchen while watching it. It's Kevin Harlan starts saying like,
he's
Hayward's
broken his
leg. And I just start getting like, I don't know how, overwhelmed. I started getting like kind of nauseous. I'm cooking. I take the whole entire like skillet, everything I'm working on, just throw the whole thing in the trash.
Oh.
The meat, the pan, everything. It melts the whole trash bucket, by the way. And then I have to like open a window. I start breathing. I was a mess.
For air outside. Like, it was
I can't watch
it. Pretty
stuff.
Bad.
It was disgusting. I understand
now,
it was
Sid
disgusting.
Sid Vicious might be the worst.
Sid Vicious, Anderson Silva had one in the UFC, which would made you sick.
Lucy, look that one up
yeah,
too.
Anderson,
in case
yeah,
you
well, that one's bad because there's no like padding or no
yeah,
glove
Anderson
or no
Silva
boot.
Leg. Anderson Silva leg on the Bing.
Just don't do it. Just don't do it.
Don't Bing it, Lucy. Don't do it.
Then click videos. There was also one. There was an old kickboxer back in the day, and that was like really unsettling.
The all-time
because he tried to put weight back on it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
you know
about.
What
my friends, set
like
me up on this.
That was
now.
One of the first viral videos. I remember in high school, people sending that one around.
The worst of all time is Kevin Ware for Louisville.
Yes,
that is the worst.
I flipped over a glass table to get out of the way.
I actually agree with you. That's the worst I've ever seen.
I was on the air,
Lucy.
Live
don't just trust
terrible.
Me on that one.
I was on the air live during that, hosting a solo show
Did
on the weekend.
Scream?
I was like,
that was Final Four.
That was it the Final Four?
I believe that was the Final Four because then Monday would have been.
No, because it was like a Saturday afternoon, I think. But anyway, maybe it was. But it was disgusting.
That one honestly broke a glass table.
Now, I remember the reaction of people in the crowd, though, that day.
Oh, the teammates on the sideline.
They thought he was dead. Like, they definitely, like, it was, the crowd was just, they were pretty broken up about it.
I never thought that anything would be worse than what I saw Theismann with LT.
Oh, God, yeah.
But everything that you described.
All these other ones were worse than Theismann.
They're worse than that, yeah.
Because that's sort of a far shot. It's almost generic, and he's got the things you're describing.
Like, oh, no, Kevin Ware wins. Right. When you see the
you
bone
so?
Sticking out.
Yeah. Oh, terrible.
Sorry, Jason.
Were you a big fan of those?
I'm fine.
Jason, there's muffins back there. Grab one if you're interested.
Were you a big fan of the Faces of Death movies? You ever
no.
see those?
What were the Faces of Death?
Oh, yes, on the internet. You are a monster.
Faces of Death?
No. No.
Don't open this up.
I got weekend.
I'm hitting the dump button.
Not that I've ever.
Faces of Death? I remember Rotten.com. That was a wild site.
There's Face of Death like 1 through 20, I think.
Is that right? They're movies?
So many unanswered questions.
Are they like real things?
Yes.
It is a collection of death scenes ranging from TV material to homemade movies.
Homemade? Come on.
The common factor is death by some means.
Yeah, I have no desire. I don't want to see
snuff film. You guys watch snuff
films?
Snuff films.
That sounds like a snuff film.
No, nobody's killing people.
You said they're kill videos.
No, they're dying.
Lucy just said
it is banned in 46 countries.
Yeah, hopefully here, because that's awful.
Not in America. I'll tell you that right
now.
Well,
wait a minute. You're sitting here getting grossed out by the broken bones, but it's okay to watch
it includes animals.
I'm out. If there's a dead dog on there, I am out. I could not watch that. I could never watch that.
No, you won't.
Yes,
I will.
I do not want to hear any dead dog stories.
No, not dog stories. Oh, no.
Okay, good.
That'd be wrong.
I can't.
Somebody losing a limb in an industrial accident, fine. a dog video that gets hurt,
no,
get out of here.
I agree. I'll ride that horse. Thank you very much. I can't do it. Oh, my God. Faces of Death. No, I'm not going to watch that.
I heard about it. I don't react
the way Rossi does to those injuries.
Where he throws up on the board in there.
Yeah, so like last night watching the 49ers guy go down and break his arm, I watched it, I don't know, 10 times on Twitter.
Or 11 or
10 12. Times?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, is that,
wait a minute.
Like that was me watching it.
Wait a minute. Was there more than one angle?
No, it was a replay. One of them was slowed down. It's really just the one, him going to the ground and then turning
from
over.
Behind.
And it looks like half his arm disappeared. And it, like the way it's bent. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
But like, I'm also not one of these people that's going to like share it. Like there's those people on Twitter that, and everybody follows one guy and they're like, look at this.
Yeah.
And like, no.
I knew the minute
I want to look at this.
I saw the reaction of both the Niners and the Raiders.
Oh, it's awful.
All of them were like, get in here, hurry
up. And
then
the guy must have been like in shock when they came. Because he walked off the field.
He walked off the field.
Holding his arm.
I mean, there's no card for this guy. Like, I know he didn't hurt his leg, but let's have him do less on his way out.
The worst part is on Twitter when somebody writes, check out this nasty run.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
So you think, you think he's going to make a good run.
Huge fantasy points. And you're like, let's see it. Oh!
His arm goes from a solid to a liquid. It is gross.
Unbelievable. The thing just shattered in there.
Now, generally speaking, TV directors have kind of a policy.
Yeah.
Like in the case of Gordon Hayward, they didn't know what they had shot initially. And then when they realized, they weren't going to show it a whole bunch of times.
A million times.
Generally speaking, you don't, like we have whole symposiums in hockey before the season starts. How are we going to handle if a guy has a bad injury? You know, you're not going to replay it over and over. You're not even going to show a replay until you see the guy get off the ice somehow. And
I think you'd need to show it though. Like I think it's part of the story.
Like they did last night once.
Yeah,
you show it once and get away.
You don't need to be gratuitous, but but one of the issues that they have sometimes is you put the play-by-play and the color guy in a tough spot because there's obviously a stoppage on the field, and so you know minutes go by. And if people are joining late or people, you know, they were looking at their phone as the play was going on or whatever, they missed it. And they're like, all right, why is there a stoppage in play? And then the poor play-by-play guy has to keep talking about what it is. So they do need to show it, but you're right. They don't need to show it on a loop and, you know, slow-mo.
Yep.
Back to less gross topics if we can.
I think that's fine.
Now, according to one of our texters, Lou said, and Lou would know more than I would, that the Red Sox apparently voted on playoff shares before the playoffs started. Which makes sense, I guess.
Sure.
You know, you're not caught up in the euphoria. Generally speaking, you find that teams are pretty generous about this stuff. As I said, they take care of the training staff and the traveling
secretary. Well, think about it, too. Like, if you're a player on the team, it's not your money. right?
Right. It's you're, not but like, you're just making sure you get less.
Yeah.
The more shares you vote for, but
I guess, but
it
also,
is not that big a deal for these guys.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like the percentage, right. Like especially some of the guys on this team and their contracts. So they're like, hey, you're going to get a few $1,000s left where they're making millions and millions of dollars a game.
So we actually have learned in the last 24 hours how generous this Red Sox team is. TMZ Sports, which is the go-to source for these sorts of things, they point out that following the game, Sunday night, the Red Sox went to Nightingale Plaza, and there was a big blowout there. Mookie Betts was there, Steve Pierce, J.D. Martinez, and others. The tab was around $300,000. Now, first of all, jeez, you can't drink $300,000 worth
gluttonous.
Of stuff.
It's gluttonous.
48 bottles of Dom, 43 bottles of Ace of Spades, 60...
The Ace of Spades! The Ace of Spades!
They have to do that every time they drink
yeah.
it.
Yeah. 60 bottles of Moet, 5 bottles of Veuve, 12 bottles of Perrier Jouet,
must
a bottle
nice.
Of Cristal, and by the way, that's not even counting the 17 bottles of Jack Daniels, 11 bottles of Jameson, but anyway.
Now we're talking.
They had a $300,000 bill, around that.
Okay.
They tipped the waitstaff $195,000.
Round it up.
They must
have. They
broke
did.
To,
they
must
the
have
whole
broke
bill
a lot
went
of
to went to $500,000.
Yep.
According to
and
TMZ,
David Price probably just put it on his credit card.
Well,
like, go ahead.
Actually,
or maybe he had cash.
TMZ said someone with the team handled the bill. Now I gotta just say
outrageous.
That. But this is what I'm gonna say.
Oh, it's,
you leave that kind of money, life changing money for the waitstaff. Good for you.
Oh, that's really
yep,
cool. No, that's good.
I
how
mean,
does that work? For the waitstaff, like I'm sure
same.
They split it, but
right,
then like
right.
same.
But
you
if you
take
get
care
the...
of your bartenders, you take care of your bus
Is that
boys.
Get taxed? Because tips normally don't.
Well,
right?
That will because it wasn't cash.
Because it's so much. Oh, okay, all right.
It wasn't cash.
Okay.
From what I understand.
Yeah.
So.
But to do that,
no, that's pretty cool.
That gives you an idea of how generous these
yeah.
guys are,
and obviously they had good service.
Well, obviously they couldn't possibly drink all this. It is impossible.
I don't
for,
know.
For a group that size to drink all that.
No, but they all have friends with them. I bet it's a pretty big group. I wouldn't
bottle
be shocked.
A bottle of Ace of Spades is pretty expensive in any club. That's got to be $4,000.
Let me...
is it really?
I'll plead
and they had 43 bottles of it?
What is Ace of Spades? Is
I don't
that
know.
A champagne?
Champagne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not...
I think it's one of
I'm
those,
not as high society
a,
as I let on.
I think it's a celebrity, one of those celebrity.
on. I know I sort of have an air about me where I'm always
sophisticated.
Yeah,
air.
You
probably
high roller.
Think I get this all the time.
Believe it or not, that I'm unfamiliar with some of those. Champagnes.
Yeah, it's Jay-Z owns it.
Oh, he does Ace of Spades.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
But that's pretty cool.
No, that
if,
is cool.
If you
good
go and tip the waitstaff $195,000,
awesome. That's a game changer.
That's awesome
for those people. Yeah. I promise you, it's a game changer.
Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I know it's a whole crap ton of money for anybody out there, but my guess is, and you mentioned David Price, if David Price, J.D. Martinez dropped $500,000 on that, they're going, okay. You know,
yeah, it's worth it. It's a celebration.
Right.
And it's not a game changer for them.
Right.
It is like, a total game changer
can
for these.
We
others.
Split this 25 there's, ways? They're like, oh, God.
Yeah, 25 cards. But there's some places, and it's a very fairly recent development, there's some places where the restaurant or the club or whatever is actually taking a piece of the tips too, which
that'd be awful.
I bet they do. It's something like that.
It's
like where they know,
it's happened someplace. Well, there's first off, if it's was probably on a credit card, some sort of credit card, I would imagine you're not carrying that kind of cash.
No,
right?
No.
Unless you're Floyd Mayweather.
I was gonna say Floyd might show up and just pay with a briefcase full of cash.
So there's probably a 2% processing fee or whatever they might tell. But anyway,
either way, it's
just
pretty
phenomenal.
That's a night made.
That's just a cool thing. And
by the way, TMZ saw the tab.
Yep.
They've actually seen it. That's how they had the list, and they saw the tip.
That's cool.
So it's not like they were saying, "Well, somebody said they left." They actually saw.
Oh, of course, there's a photo of
so
it.
So evidently, the bill came to like $305. And they
awesome.
Tipped $195,000 to take the thing to an even $500,000.
That's wild.
Yep.
Absolutely wild.
But I'm impressed.
Where were they? What was the place?
Just had the name of it.
Yeah,
there.
The name of the place was Nightingale Plaza.
So it was out in California. They stayed there the night after. That was the night after they won, right?
Yes.
And so
they were out
in like LA area.
This is a big club and everything?
Must be.
So now you're talking about table service, which is another few thousand, you know, per table. You know, you're talking, I could see how they'd run up that.
Yeah, easy. Oh, yeah.
I could see it.
Good for them.
Yeah, cool. Enjoy.
And it's probably an indication that when they voted playoff shares, and Lou said they did that before the playoffs, they were probably pretty generous.
Everybody gets a slice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Let's go to John in Worcester. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing great.
Good. Listener, love the show, man. Love the show.
Thanks. Thank you.
Just want to comment on the ring thing. Hanley Ramirez contributed to the success, overall success of the team, no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Any player that plays on a team and helps contribute, I think, deserves a ring. Money, that's another thing, but that's just my thoughts on that. I don't know what you guys have to say about it, you know?
And the money is a player decision, how they split up the playoff shares.
Yep.
That is a player decision, and that's the vote of the clubhouse. If they liked this guy a lot, they may have voted him a half share or a quarter share or whatever.
What we learned at the time was they liked Hanley Ramirez. He wasn't super, super popular. Because I thought he was. You remember some of the hijinks he would do in the dugout and thing? Like, just from the outside, I thought he was. But I remember, I think, talking to Bradford and a couple other guys around the team. They're like, he had his friends on the team, but it wasn't like, oh, he's going to be this huge loss. But he also wasn't a problem. Like, they got him out before he could have been a problem. He also, for some of the guys on the team, had been a teammate for multiple years. So they were probably like, sure. You know, and think about it. He started the year as their number three hitter.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of nuts to think about?
Right. It didn't last, but it started that way.
But most teams that, you know, after a couple months of the season, they get rid of their number three hitter. They don't get better and then win the World Series.
No, usually they're tanking.
Yeah, they're like, uh-oh, we don't have this guy. But they were better. So, yeah, if everybody has to sacrifice a few hundred, few thousand bucks or whatever it ends up being across the group for him, I think they don't care.
Yeah,
6-1.
I don't think they'd mind whatsoever. And at that point, plus you're not talking about overwhelming money to these guys at all for the most part.
No.
They're not playing the playoffs for the playoffs. Sure,
nope,
that's for
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely not.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got Bruins tickets to give away in a few minutes. We'll get back to the calls with you. Michael Irvin joins us at 1. Dale and Keefe with Diassi, Sports Radio, WEEI. What, do you think I'm going to talk over that part?
No, you're not. No, you're not.
I love Balls Count Anywhere Friday.
The best.
I mean, let's be honest. There are times when Jason's musical selections are fairly lame, but not on Falls Count Anywhere Friday.
Does leave something to be desired at times.
Does
some
of these,
for a music guy.
Some of these electronic things once in a while.
He experiments.
Electronic things.
Jim Croce ballads.
That electronic, that wiki stuff there that you kids are.
wiki. Yeah, Friday, though.
How old are you, Friday, for God's sake? I'm older than you and listen to you.
I listen. I'm just throwing out a few things I've heard. That's all.
So we've got a couple of things that we've been talking about throughout the course of the day. Patriots, obviously, at the top. Did you notice there was an interesting? I always wonder about these statistical breakdowns. How do they do them? Who does them? How do they base them on? But the Twitter site Only in Boston has this. There was a study: the NFL teams with the drunkest fan bases.
Buffalo?
Come on.
Buffalo?
Buffalo didn't make the top 10.
What?
Nope.
Drunkest fan bases?
Nope.
So wait, how did they determine this?
I don't know. That's what I always wonder. It's supposedly, it's fans with the highest and lowest blood alcohol content.
Philly's up there. Philly's got to be up there.
So they're how many people are they testing? I feel like the really drunk people are not going to stop and be like, oh, I'll be a part of the study.
Maybe they're doing the people who get arrested, their blood alcohol levels.
Oh, maybe.
When they have to do breathalyzer.
Buffalo's 19th.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. 19th.
Well, they're immune to alcohol. They drink so much up there.
Well, that could be too. So number one, the drunkest fan base in the National Football League based on blood alcohol content. The Philly. Dallas Cowboys.
Really?
.062 is the average blood alcohol content in Dallas.
Huh.
Number two in the NFL.
You still drive home.
Sort of. Number two in the NFL, your New England Patriots.
How about that? Not bad.
.061. We're number two.
The only thing where they trail Dallas.
Philly is 13th. Huh. Giants are 27th.
Yeah, it's a weird study. That's right.
Pittsburgh
is
25th.
Okay.
Who's the soberest?
All right.
The most sober.
Probably, I was like, did the
Jacksonville?
Does Utah have a team?
Yeah.
Denver?
Yeah, maybe.
No, they're 17th.
They got Coors Light
Houston?
Up there. It's the coldest beer, you know.
Green Bay. Can't be.
No, it can't be a cold weather place, right? Because right? You got to
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay.
Oh, Tampa Bay. Jacksonville.
Maybe.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
No, Tampa Bay's 26th.
Yep.
What's the problem with the list here? Is it,
because
is
they've
readily
got
available?
They've got the whole, map, yeah. And they have each city delineated, and I'm trying to find number 32.
It's going to be Arizona. Just
they're number four.
Ooh, they're hammered there.
They are the fourth drunkest fan base in the National Football League.
I call shenanigans on this whole list. I really do. Buffalo should be number one with a bullet.
Or is this kind of like, remember we did that study last week where it's like the drunkest cities, but it's people that live there?
It was people that live there, but it was also people who, how much money they spend on it. Because I was thinking if you just went on like how much beer is sold inside each stadium, that's not necessarily a good test either.
Because people walk in,
yeah, because people walk in there hammered. Right. And so that doesn't really take into
account.
But
now I can tell you this. The Giants were like 24th or something like that.
27th.
That's an older fan base too. When the younger fan base you get, the more drinking you're going
to
get.
According
to
this, the most sober fan base in the National Football League, the Atlanta Falcons.
What? Huh. Really?
They are the most sober, followed by the Giants, Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, and Washington.
Interesting. I've been to a game down in Atlanta. They seemed as drunk as everybody
else.
As moved up as the rest of us.
No,
I didn't notice anything real different there.
They've got the division winners. AFC East, the Patriots. AFC North, Cleveland. AFC South, Indianapolis. What the hell else is there to do?
Yeah.
AFC West, Denver. Huh. NFC East, of course, the Cowboys. Right. NFC North, the Vikings. Okay. NFC South, New Orleans.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
And NFC West, Arizona.
It's a weird, it's an odd list, but
I never know how they...
The NFC, the AFC East is the Patriots. Yeah. AFC North is Cleveland. Two franchises drinking for wrong reasons.
Completely different reasons.
Opposite ends of the spectrum.
It celebrates a party every Sunday for the Patriots. And Cleveland
one's awake.
Just miserable. We get just as drunk as you.
Having spent some time in New Orleans, especially the week I was there for my son's wedding, I don't know how that isn't the most alcohol-induced fan base in the world.
Well,
they never are.
Yeah, but it's like the same thing with, I've talked to a ton of guys that live in Vegas, work in the casinos. How do you not gamble?
It's just there all the time.
It's just the same. Probably the same thing in New Orleans. When tourists go there, boom,
they go nuts. The natives,
Nashville, same thing. Yeah, they're throwing down. Vegas, same thing. But you know, the natives, maybe not. Maybe not so much.
I just think it's that Keith isn't trying hard enough.
I could do better.
Step up.
This weekend, I'm going to turn the... it's ever since I started hosting the pregame show.
I mean, Dallas is 0.062. We're 0.061. You could be the difference.
I'll be the guy. I'll turn things around this Sunday night. I promise.
A couple of expensive craft beers in the Fortress of Solitude.
I'm going to get some Ace of Spades after all this talk. I mean, this is the first thing I'm going to do, I would assume.
I just found it interesting that... We're only second.
Dallas is the drunkest.
Yeah,
that's what they say.
You don't see anything like with Cowboys fans.
No,
and maybe that's what my mind goes to is like, you know, the Bills fans
doing
jumping to the tables
things,
and all that stuff.
What if like, they had only measured at the White House in Dallas? What would the BAC have been there?
Ooh, only alcohol? Just that would have been something. We didn't have the White House. We had two Tall's house.
Is that where it was? Two Talls?
They had it. Excuse me. They had.
They had.
Two Talls guest house is what it was. Yeah, they had, from what I heard. Rumor had it. I'm not sure. Forget what I said. Didn't happen. Never happened. Was never there.
Yeah, okay.
Forget that.
All right.
Delete. That's all. So, I'm not surprised. I thought Buffalo would be a little bit higher, but Dallas, I don't get.
I don't know.
Doesn't seem that way.
Go ahead, Jason.
Told Ace of Spades is $630 a bottle. So kind of write that off.
So you're going to need a lot of those to get
43
us over that
bottles.
No. That's 630 at the club.
Is that at the club or that's
Retail at Walmart.
Retail. So
at the club, it's a lot.
What is Walmart doing with that?
At the club,
why are they selling it?
Minimum $2,500 at the club for $600.
A bottle of Jameson, if you buy it at a bar in Boston, is $350. Retails at like $40.
Yeah, and that's, you guys wonder why I never leave my house.
Right.
Pretty much know why.
There it is. Yeah.
11 bottles of Jameson they went through.
Yeah.
A lot of car bombs. You think they're doing Irish car bombs? They might have been. How much Guinness was sold?
Remember in the aftermath of the Bruins winning the Stanley Cup, there were all these shots of the guys. They went to, I think it was Mohegan or Foxwoods. One of those.
Yeah.
And again, you want to go to a club and you're not driving all. You do what you want. You want a championship. But somebody got a hold of that bill.
Oh, it
wasn't anywhere close to $300,000.
Well, the best part of that bill, and I'll forget what the exact detail was. And I know people will remember. It was like all champagne, all kinds of crazy, like, you know, all kinds of liquor. And then there was like one Stella. like on the whole list.
Right,
there was
right,
like,
oh,
was
right. there,
like
I remember
one,
that.
Like one random beer. That? Like I'll take that. Like well, that's not what we're having, but fine, you can have that.
They're probably that was probably from early in the night. By the time they ran up all that liquor, they were just throwing them beers.
Well, beers and they also add food. Obviously, right. you can't just be drinking all night. You gotta try to get some calories in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
5,000 chicken wings or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But that's either way. Good for them. Hell of a party and hell of a tip. Good for them.
I do want to go back to something you two were almost coming to blows over earlier.
I would not do that.
You were all over me. You were all up in my grill. What's wrong with you?
I was not.
Huh? No, I sort of felt like you
I was keeping safe distance away from him.
I've already talked to HR about it, so don't worry about it. Right?
So the whole point here was, and we were taking the Brady Rogers argument to the next level, which was fisticuffs. And now the point that you were upset about was the whole whether or not Aaron Rodgers is soft.
No, it was not just the soft part, but it was if Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback for the Patriots last 10 years, could they have won two Super Bowls? Because that's what it's been for Brady, right? I mean, if you his whole career, we know it's five, but the last 10 years, it's been two Super Bowls. I think, and this isn't even a knock on Brady, I just think if Aaron Rodgers played for Belichick, played with these teams, had Gronk, had whoever else, had the defenses, had McDaniels, all of that, I think he also could have won two Super Bowls. Now, it wouldn't have looked the same. I'm not suggesting he would have been able to come back 28-3 against the Falcons, but just over that course of time, I think he could have won two Super Bowls.
Here's why I think you're wrong, because Steve's bigger than you.
Well, that's probably fair.
But the other reason why I think you're wrong, tell me if Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback of the Patriots, that he would take the same salary haircut that Tom Brady has taken, because Aaron Rodgers is the highest paid player, has been, was the highest paid player for 3 years starting in 2013.
Yeah.
Is he going to say, all right, look, we'll spread the money around here because Aaron Rodgers' salary makes it hard to fill out the roster with players who can help you?
Yeah, but some of the guys they've spent a lot of money on, I think they would just have to do it different. Like Dwayne Allen, when he signed for like a bunch of money last year, I think they still could have done it. I think as Belichick has even said, they could manipulate the cap. If they knew Rodgers was their guy and if he wasn't going to give any money back, I think they still could have found a way to win.
His total salary and bonuses this year are a one-year record of $66.9 million.
But that hasn't been the whole 10 years.
No, I understand. No, but he was always the highest-paid guy.
No, but
he's been the highest-paid guy for a while.
No, but Brady doesn't play for free.
His latest extension has an average salary of $33.5 million, tops in the sport. Brady has never been even close to tops in the sport.
But he still makes a decent amount of money, and he has the
half of what this guy's getting.
Okay, so you can't sign Brandon Bolden. You can't sign some of these other guys. I think they still absolutely could have won.
Well, part of the ways the Patriots have won has been by having competent backups. Not necessarily high-paid backups, but guys that are prepared to come in. As to whether you believe Belichick could have got anybody ready, I've seen him got, you know, grab guys off the street and have them ready. But
I just think, I mean, if they go 11-5 with Matt Cassel, I mean, they can win Super Bowls.
They were
with
undefeated
Aaron
the year before that.
Then they were 10-6 the year after that. They were worse with Brady
because
than they were with Cassel.
The Cassel hangover.
Yeah, that's what it was. I agree. They're like, this guy, like, we don't remember how to play. This isn't the same thing.
We're unfamiliar with this.
No, you're right. Yeah. I mean, there was a significant drop-off, but I'm just saying, Aaron Rodgers is much better than Matt Cassel, so I just think they would have found a way.
Well, it wouldn't be inconceivable because in that 10 years, they've also lost a couple of two, three Super Bowls, too. So, two Super Bowls.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, if you're thinking that you'd have four chances to win a couple, sure.
I can see that. That's my point. Yeah. Remember the story we had? Oh, God, I forget who wrote it, but they were talking about how, it was the book. It was that book. It was the Ian O'Connor book, I believe, that came out, and it was talking about how the Patriots coaches believe that they could win without Brady. Like, if you give him a top half of the league quarterback, they could win. Now, you can debate over that, but Aaron Rodgers is a top two quarterback. Like, that is significantly different than saying, could they win with Stafford? Like, that's okay. Like, let's think about that. I don't know, maybe not. But with Aaron Rodgers, I think they absolutely could.
Well, with Aaron Rodgers, is it also, you know, the season where he could only start 7 games or the season where he could only start 9 games?
Right, I mean, that happened twice. You know, he's had two seasons where he couldn't finish the year. So that is, Brady has been more durable, but Brady's also missed a season in there.
But isn't it interesting how the national conversation of this went from Peyton Manning to
Yeah, they leapfrog. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is already better just because he's playing.
And I don't think he is better than Peyton Manning.
Right. So now, I mean, 4 years ago was, oh, Peyton Manning's the best ever, Tom Brady's not.
Yeah.
Now it's, oh, Aaron Rodgers is the best ever, Tom Brady's not. What's the common factor there? Tom Brady's not. That's part of the national conversation because there's a certain amount of distaste for the Patriots and what Tom Brady and the Patriots have done.
Well, you have to sort of move the argument because especially around here, like, is Brady better than yes? You don't even have to give me the other name. The answer is yes. So you try to find out different ways of doing it. That's why yesterday we had the conversation: who's the most talented quarterback? So. Because you can't compare resumes because then there's nothing to talk about.
Right.
And so I also thought sort of as a side conversation, the Rodgers versus Peyton Manning was pretty interesting. Rodgers still has a few more years left, so let's see what he does with them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Manning has two Super Bowls, but he was a disaster in the second one.
The second one was
all defense.
Despite him.
Yes, that's, exactly. Yeah. He has more regular season MVPs. But when you look at some of the other numbers, like touchdown to interception ratio, quarterback rating, things like that, I mean, that sides with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but isn't Aaron Rodgers like best in history for interception percentage? I mean,
yes.
one of the best.
Yeah, TD to, I think, Brady second. Right. But Aaron Rodgers is the best at that, yeah.
Right.
And he's got to be number one or
but
two,
the,
I think, quarterback
other,
rating.
And you could put the other part of that equation into the fact that he sat around for 3 years before he played. And Peyton Manning was thrown in right away. Tom Brady was there in his second year.
I don't think that necessarily makes Rodgers better.
No, well,
I think he could have had his stats. He could have had more stats if he was in there sooner.
Well, no, maybe more stats, but maybe early on in your career, you have a few more interceptions. You know, I mean, if you're talking,
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
His first full year, he had 13 interceptions. His first full year, you know, when he started 16 games, 13 interceptions, then 7, then 11. Then he starts figuring it out. Now he's down to 6.
Those are the only double-digit pick years.
Yeah, but why do you think? Because he figured it out. I mean, so you know, I guess if you look at that means. But I'm trying to remember what Brady was early on.
Brady threw double-digit picks a bunch of times.
He did
a bunch of times early on, and didn't have as many touchdown passes either.
Yep.
Even though he led the league, I think it was 2002. He led the league, but you look at some of those early years. These are interceptions for Brady early on. 12, 14, 12, 14, 14, 12.
Right.
I mean, that's a bunch of picks for him.
And that's right around when they changed some of the rules, too.
I was going to say, then you go to 2007, you give him receivers, he doubles up his touchdowns and only throws 8 picks.
Right, right. And that was the second year of the no touching the quarterbacks and no touching the receivers rules, too.
Yep.
So
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe. Steve DeAssi's in the house. Michael Irvin comes our way at 1 o'clock. Sports Radio, WEEI. So as it hits, Keith's got a puzzled look on his face, and DeAssi's got both fists up in the air.
That's right. DeAssi could definitely pull off an LOD.
Oh, yes.
He could definitely pull that off.
I bet you've got shoulder pads at home with spikes in them.
I had some stuff left over from Halloween. One time I did the whole.
I was going to say, you must have gone as Hannibal or Aunt Hannibal. Hawk.
I had a real shaved head.
Yes.
I really shaved my head.
And how many pairs of Zubaz do you actually own?
I still have 3.
Million.
I still have 3.
Paint the face, spikes on the shoulder pads. Boom. You're a hit.
I did like shark jaws on the shoulder pads. That's what it was.
Shark
jaws on the shoulder pads, and it was more Mad Max than anything else.
That's pretty good.
I think it was Laura Nitis who was friends with Nelly growing up.
Yep.
And when we were out there for the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, Nelly went out to do the show with me, and I think it was Laura Nitis, one of the two guys of LOD, showed up with a box full of Zubaz for us. You know,
yep,
I was like,
perfect.
Here you go, Nelly. I mean,
outfit
it was like,
everybody.
Oh, we had I was wearing them for a while there. I don't think I have any left.
Zubaz.
Bring them back. I think if they sold them now, they would sell like
starter jackets.
Yeah.
Oh, I had the starter nylon jacket. Starter jackets and Zubaz.
You know who's done unbelievable stuff with revamping and remarketing the starter jackets is my old teammate, Carl Banks from the Giants.
Oh, yeah?
Really? The big starter jacket guy?
Yeah, he's been, I mean, he's done, you've seen him all over the place in New York, a bunch of other. He's done a pretty good job. Mm. Yeah. But, again, same look, though. The satiny, shiny colors and everything. I actually saw my Tangerine Bowl one. Not that it would ever fit again.
A tangerine bowl
from 1982.
That was the swag that you got. It was throwback. A tangerine bowl jacket.
It wasn't a starter jacket. It was like a knockoff starter jacket. It wasn't even a
starter. Tangerine bowl said, "Hey, we're not made of money here."
Yeah,
you know?
But it was still all, it was all orangey.
Oh,
and
that sounds
satiny
good.
And,
you still
oh, yeah.
have it, Steve?
I
That's amazing.
No, this wasn't mine, but I think I do have mine somewhere. I saw that we had our 35th reunion of our whatever.
Of the tangerine bowl.
In 1983 team. No, the tangerine was 82. Yeah. But that's what everybody, when we first got them, I remember everybody think, oh, starter jackets. And we're like, no, not starter jackets, but hey, they look okay. They're fine. They'll work, you know.
You have to bring something in next week, all right?
Yeah, what are your keepsakes?
You have all these things.
What are your keepsakes?
I don't know. I don't have a lot in the house.
Something we can mock you for.
It's all in storage. Oh,
from a safe distance.
All you got to do is look at my iTunes list. And you can mock me for that.
Well, right? We're moving buildings, right? So we should have a Diossi jersey hung up in the hallways at the other building.
I think it's only fair.
Get a really? Merlone jersey. Get a Fourier jersey.
When we were at Jake and Joe's a few weeks ago for the baseball roundtable, there's a Smurlis jersey hanging up there.
We need to get one at the new studio.
Yeah, that's his guys. That's the Sarah's?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We're not big enough to know the owners and stuff.
No,
we're,
God,
we're just
no.
there to talk.
No.
But I saw the Smurlis jersey hanging up there.
Yeah, Fred pays a monthly stipend to keep it up there.
By the way, I made the point to Steve during the break before Keith came back in. No.
You're talking behind my back.
Yeah,
again?
We kind of were. I said if the Patriots weren't playing the Packers this Sunday, nobody would be talking about this Rodgers is as good as Tom Brady stuff because nobody believes it.
No.
Besides Max Kellerman.
Yeah. Well, and Michael Jordan. Do you hear that Michael Jordan ad?
Yeah.
Do we want to play that for a second? The Michael Jordan ad is obviously, they're doing a good job. They're hyping this up. And it is, if you think about Tom Brady, it was Brady versus Manning for a bunch of years. And that was the best matchup, the best rivalry. That was awesome to see. But now that Peyton Manning is gone, there's really only two other guys I think you can fairly even compare to them. And Brady, every year, they're at the top. They're always in the mix. A couple of guys will jump in there in the top five, and then the next year they're gone. But those two consistently, I mean, Roethlisberger has the wins, but even he, I don't think anybody thinks is as good as Rodgers or Breeze. So, and this matchup also only happens once every 4 years.
It's only the second time they've played or something.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't play in 2010. That was Matt Flynn.
Yeah, this is the second.
Rodgers was hurt.
Right. This is the second time
in
their entire career.
But you're right about Drew Brees. Drew Brees doesn't get near the love that
he deserves.
And you think they both got one Super Bowl, right?
Yep, Brees and Rodgers. Really? Yep. One each.
Rodgers has been to, what, three NFC championship games maybe? I don't even know.
Yeah, that might be right.
Just off the top of my head. Brees has been to a few, I guess, you know, and the numbers Brees puts up off the charts, ridiculous.
But I feel like when Rodgers is healthy, because again, there's those 2 years that he only played about half the season. When he's healthy, the Packers are in the playoffs. When Brees is healthy, it's not always a guarantee. And I know they've had some issues.
Right.
They had the 1 year that Sean Payton was suspended for the whole year.
Right.
But he has had multiple 7-win seasons, and that might be what keeps him out. Because the numbers. He leads the league in passing yards almost every year.
Right.
You know, like he has the all-time numbers in his favor, but I think the overall, like the winning is not as good as Rodgers.
Right. Well, then if that's the case, then how are you even thinking of comparing Rodgers to Brady? If Brees to Rodgers winning percentage isn't that good.
So I think the reason why they compare him so much, and I've always obviously Tom Brady's the best quarterback now, and last year he's the best quarterback, but nationally a lot of people say it's Aaron Rodgers. They say he's the best current quarterback in the league.
Well, before they said it was Peyton Manning.
Right.
Those same people.
Right. So there you go. But that's why there's the comparison.
Right.
That's why it's
not
with, you know, pick another guy. Like, you know, Roethlisberger or Philip Rivers or Eli. Like, they're not going there.
Right.
So, Rossi, you got the Michael Jordan ad. So this is hyping up the Sunday Night Football game. I'm curious what you guys think of this.
A lot of talk going on these days about who is the greatest ever. About who has the titles, the raw talent, the most clutch moments. I get it. It's a tough call. I mean, even the jersey numbers are the same. But maybe the best way to settle this debate is to play it out head to head. I'll watch that.
All right, so it's,
how many people thought he was talking about him and LeBron?
Jordan, definitely better than LeBron. So there's
about who has the titles.
Yeah. Oh, Brady.
The raw talent.
probably Rodgers, I think it's fair to say.
The most clutch moments.
Brady. So, like, two out of three are clearly Brady.
I get it.
And they're the same number.
It's a tough call.
Not really. It's not that tough of a call. Like, no. We're talking about who's the greatest ever. It's Brady. Like, I don't know where are we going here.
I mean, I could make an argument that Aaron Rodgers is the second best quarterback in his team's history.
I would argue that he is better than Favre. Steve, you want to break that tie?
If Favre could have played under these rules, I think Favre would have been even better than he was, and he still put up some big numbers.
He did put up big numbers.
You can't discount these rules. The rules and the way the game's played now, in part because of those rules, are ridiculous.
But that's one of those things that Aaron Rodgers has done. Like, all these guys, like, if the rules are going to be different, so there's going to be more passing yards, there's going to be more touchdowns, there's going to be more points. But then to do it the way that Rodgers has done it, like, so far this year, he has 13 touchdowns, one pick.
Right.
And you're right, it is easier to do it now, but he's also making it look really easy. Like, the number, like, 2 years ago when he was in the mix, the year that Matt Ryan won the MVP, he had 40 touchdowns, seven picks.
Right.
Like, that's like a Big 12 quarterback. Like, right. So at least he's doing it, whereas other guys, it's easier, and they're still finishing the year with, you know, 28 touchdowns, 15 picks.
And, okay, and that's a mid-level quarterback.
Right. Right.
Okay, 15, 16, 17 years ago, that's a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, but we did that. Remember that exercise, Dale? The quarterback rating, for example.
Right.
You know, if you had a quarterback rating of 90 10, 15 years ago, you were amazing. You probably led the league.
Hall of Fame.
Now you are middle of the pack at best.
Right. I mean, even the jersey numbers are the same.
So it's very confusing when you see two 12s out there.
Part of it, too,
which is
offenses are seem to be getting, you know, more imagination from the play callers.
Yeah.
And guys are coming out of college more prepared to throw the ball than ever before.
There are 10 quarterbacks in the league right now that have a quarterback rating over 100.
Yeah.
A little different game today.
Like, what are we doing? So that's why it's so difficult for the Hall of Fame voters.
Yeah.
When they see a receiver that comes up that has, you know, 10,000-yard seasons, you're like, well, that's great, but how do we really weigh that versus the other guys?
Yeah.
It's tough.
And you know, when you look at the quarterback, it's not just the fact that they're not getting hit, which is, in terms of business, it makes a whole lot of sense. You keep your marquee guys on the field.
Yeah.
But it's not just that they're not getting hit. There's no fear of it. There's no fear in those quarterbacks. There's no fear in the receivers getting hit. There's not a hint of it. There's no, you don't have to worry about a thing out there if you're, well, not, I mean, that's a little exaggeration. You don't have to worry near as much as you used to have to worry. And again, it's smart. I'm all in. It makes for an exciting game, and that Kansas City New England game was as exciting as it gets. But to compare those generations, it's really tough.
Not,
yeah, it's apples and oranges.
Mike's in North Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. Yeah, you know, you already said what I was going to say with regards to, like, the stats. And ultimately, it comes down to wins and, you know, how you performed against everybody else in the moment, because so many things have changed. Quick note on Breeze. With regards to Breeze, I think I've said this to you before. He's been able to shut it. He's been able to keep the pedal on the metal at the end of games because he's been on bad teams or he's been in close games or facing prevent defenses at the end. Whereas Tom is routinely shutting it down in the fourth quarter, even in the second half of games, just chewing up clock. So comparing those numbers really doesn't do much favor for them.
Did you watch 07? Tom wasn't laying down in the second half.
Yeah, but most of his career he has been, especially lately. And the key thing here is with regards to Rodgers, any argument you can make for him, you can make a better argument for Manning. Manning has it all over him and just about everything.
Oh, I agree. I think Manning is better. Now, the one area you look at Peyton Manning's numbers, the number that's going to jump out at you if you want to think negatively is 251 career interceptions.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's a horrible number. But the rest of it, his record, his touchdowns, his completion percentage. I mean, he's the second best in this.
What group. About all of his one and dones in the playoffs? I mean, that's
fair.
That's got to be mentioned. Got to be a factor. He lost his first playoff game a ton of times, and not just early in his career, even later on in his career, even once in Denver. You know, when he established, like, even was breaking records
when he could actually play.
Yeah, right.
Not the year he won the Super Bowl.
Right, exactly. When he was still really good, he lost so many times that is definitely advantage Rodgers. That's one of the biggest. black marks on Manning's entire career. And it wasn't until that final playoff run where it was all the defense. You know, he had a quarterback rating of 56 in the Super Bowl against Carolina, that it was that game that got him over 500.
Yeah.
He's 14-13 in the playoffs. But prior to that run where they beat Pittsburgh, the Patriots, of course, and Carolina, he would have ended his career under 500 in the postseason.
And yet, Aaron Rodgers is 9-7,
right,
in his career in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So,
but also not done, you know. So we'll see. We'll see what he does.
617.
He's not going to catch 27 and whatever Brady is. What's...
Yeah, probably not.
No. The best way to settle this debate.
Yeah,
let him fight. That's what we're going to do with you and the Aussie in the next hour.
No, we're not.
Right here
in
the studio.
It could be a handicap match.
We're going to go in and watch Faces of Death.
Yeah, all right, fine.
617-779-7937. Michael Irvin at 1 here on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.